Have you ever wondered why success seems to come easily to those who already have it? Why the most popular books become bestsellers while equally good ones languish in obscurity? Why wealthy families tend to stay wealthy across generations? These questions all point to a powerful yet often invisible force shaping our society. In The Matthew Effect, sociologist Daniel Rigney brings together decades of scattered research to illuminate this phenomenon named after a biblical verse. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. This book has become required reading in sociology departments worldwide and has influenced thinking across disciplines from economics to education. Even billionaire Warren Buffett has referenced its principles when discussing wealth inequality. The Matthew Effect explains why initial advantages, however small, tend to compound over time, creating a world where the gap between haves and have-nots continually widens unless deliberately counteracted. The Matthew Effect describes how initial advantages tend to beget further advantages, while initial disadvantages lead to further disadvantages. This creates widening gaps between those who have more and those who have less. Robert K. Merton borrowed the term from the Gospel of Matthew, applying it first to scientific recognition, but later recognizing its broader social implications. The effect operates across diverse domains: economic, political, cultural, and personal. Think of a snowball rolling downhill. It starts small, but as it rolls, it accumulates more snow, growing larger and faster. Similarly, advantages tend to accumulate and self-amplify over time. The board game Monopoly perfectly illustrates this principle. Players begin with equal resources, but small differences in luck and strategy quickly magnify. Early property acquisitions generate income that enables more purchases, creating a self-reinforcing cycle until one player dominates the board. A more realistic version would start players with unequal resources, $5,000, $1,000, and $500, virtually guaranteeing victory for the initially advantaged player. This mirrors real-life conditions where vast inequalities of starting positions exist. While Americans often believe everyone has equal opportunity to succeed, the probability of going from rags to riches remains minuscule compared to the likelihood of remaining in one's birth class. Matthew effects come in two forms. Absolute Matthew effects occur when the rich get absolutely richer while the poor get absolutely poorer, like in Monopoly, where winners accumulate wealth while losers go bankrupt. Relative Matthew effects happen when both rich and poor gain, but the rich gain more, widening the gap between them. Compound interest demonstrates this perfectly. If I invest $1,000 and you invest $100 at 10% annual interest, after 10 years, I'll have $2,594 while you'll have only $259. Though we both experienced identical percentage growth, the monetary gap between us expanded from $900 to $2,335. The opposite of Matthew effects, where the rich get poorer while the poor get richer, occurs rarely in history without deliberate intervention. Merton's analysis of the Matthew effect fits within his broader sociological framework, emphasizing unintended consequences and social mechanisms. He was fascinated by how social actions often produce results different from what actors intended. As a functionalist theorist, he distinguished between manifest functions, intended and recognized consequences, and latent functions, unintended and unrecognized consequences. This distinction became crucial for understanding how seemingly beneficial social arrangements could generate hidden negative outcomes. The concept of unintended consequences manifests across numerous social domains. Consider how automobiles brought greater mobility, but also led to urban sprawl, air pollution, and climate change. Or how social media platforms designed to connect people have contributed to political polarization and mental health issues. In economic policy, tax cuts for the wealthy might intentionally create Matthew effects through direct wealth accumulation, while educational disparities produce them unintentionally through differential access to opportunities and resources. These examples demonstrate how complex social systems often generate outcomes far removed from their original purposes. In scientific institutions, Merton viewed Matthew effects as largely unanticipated and unintended, serving both functional purposes, facilitating talent recognition, streamlining communication channels, and dysfunctional ones, breeding inequity, suppressing novel voices. He noted how prestigious institutions could simultaneously advance scientific progress while reinforcing existing power structures. For instance, well-funded universities attract top researchers, leading to more grants and publications, which in turn attracts more talent and funding. Merton emphasized the importance of opportunity structures, the scale and distribution of conditions that provide various probabilities for acting individuals and groups to achieve specifiable outcomes. These structures aren't distributed randomly, but favor some over others based on social location, family background, and institutional affiliations. Access to opportunities may expand or contract historically, as with the GI Bill expanding educational access after World War II, or more recently, how digital technology has created new pathways for knowledge acquisition and career advancement. The Matthew effect operates as a social mechanism transforming inputs into outputs through feedback loops. When individuals meet performance standards, this initiates a process of cumulative advantage, where they acquire successively enlarged opportunities. Elite institutions and scientists create mutually reinforcing advantages, with individual and institutional Matthew effects feeding each other. For example, a researcher publishing in a prestigious journal gains visibility, leading to speaking invitations and collaboration opportunities, which in turn increases their chances of future high-impact publications. Though Merton didn't explicitly use feedback loop terminology, his analysis aligns perfectly with this concept. Initial conditions get amplified by social mechanisms, producing outcomes that transform the initial conditions and feed them back for further amplification. This creates self-perpetuating cycles of advantage or disadvantage that can persist across generations. Contemporary examples include how elite college admissions favor students from well-resourced schools, who then gain access to premium job networks, enabling them to provide similar advantages to their children. These feedback loops can operate at individual, institutional, and societal levels, making them particularly resistant to reform efforts. Merton first identified Matthew effects in scientific institutions, where eminent scientists received disproportionate credit for their contributions compared to lesser-known colleagues. Even when two scientists make identical contributions, the more prestigious one receives greater recognition. Many Nobel laureates acknowledge this imbalance. Some even refuse authorship to redistribute credit to lesser-known colleagues. While creating individual injustice, the Matthew effect may benefit scientific communication by providing quality certification and role models. More than half of Nobel Prize winners worked under previous laureates, creating generational advantage. Scientific institutions, though relatively meritocratic, still show statistical evidence of Matthew effects through citation patterns and invisible colleges where well-connected scientists promote each other's visibility. Gender adds another dimension to these dynamics. Margaret Rossiter identified the Matilda effect, a gender-specific Matthew effect that has historically promoted male advantage in science through old boy networks and discriminatory practices. Research confirms that women's academic careers face gender-specific obstacles at every stage from recruitment to persistence. Virginia Vallian demonstrates how small initial differences in performance evaluation accumulate into large gender disparities in salary, promotion, and prestige over time. Matthew effects extend beyond individual scientists to entire disciplines, institutions, and countries. Prestigious graduate programs maintain their reputations through rankings that may reflect past rather than current performance, creating self-perpetuating cycles. Globally, wealthy nations with established scientific infrastructure receive disproportionate citation shares in leading journals, while developing countries receive less than their statistical expectation. This global Matthew effect is compounded by brain drain, the flight of scientific talent from poorer to wealthier nations. In technology, similar self-accelerating cycles operate. Jared Diamond calls these autocatalytic processes, where technology begets more technology. Microsoft exemplifies this. Initial success with MS-DOS generated revenue for developing Windows, which became a platform for bundling other products. Similarly, Microsoft Word gained dominance through increasing returns, becoming more valuable as more people used it, creating a positive feedback loop that helped make Bill Gates the world's richest person. Economic systems exhibit powerful Matthew effects where advantage begets further advantage. Though economists rarely use this terminology, the principle appears throughout economic thought. Karl Marx described capital accumulation as an exploitative process where capitalists reinvest profits extracted from workers' labor to gain even more wealth. Max Weber offered a different perspective, attributing capitalism's rise partly to Protestant ethics that encouraged profit reinvestment rather than consumption. Both identified feedback loops as crucial mechanisms in economic development. The business world acknowledges Matthew effects through sayings like "it takes money to make money" and "the first million is the hardest." Several key mechanisms drive economic Matthew effects. The birth lottery represents a primary economic Matthew mechanism. Some are born into advantage, while others begin life with minimal access to opportunity structures. Our birth circumstances substantially influence subsequent life chances, creating a foundation for cumulative advantage regardless of personal merit. Compound interest ensures that those with larger initial principal experience greater absolute gains. Even when growth rates are identical, the dollar gap between large and small investors widens progressively. For debtors, especially the poor facing usury lending, compounded debt creates downward financial spirals. Small initial biases in employee evaluation produce dramatic long-term consequences through organizational hierarchies. Computer simulations show that just a 1% pro-male bias in promotions eventually creates executive strata dominated by men. Similarly, percentage-based salary increases widen absolute gaps between high and low earners. When a secretary making $20,000 and an executive making $200,000 both receive 5% raises over 3 years, the executive's raise, $31,153, exceeds the secretary's entire salary, $23,153. Large corporations leverage their size to produce or purchase goods at lower unit costs than smaller competitors, eventually driving them out of business and capturing their market share. Through practices like predatory pricing, resource-rich corporations can temporarily undersell competitors at a loss until those with fewer resources fail. The concept of increasing returns explains how firms like Microsoft and Google dominate markets. As more users adopt their products, value increases, attracting still more users in a positive feedback loop. Marketers exploit this bestseller effect, where prominent displays trigger increased sales, generating more publicity and further sales. Taxation systems create additional Matthew effects. Regressive taxes and tax cuts benefiting upper-income groups redistribute wealth upward, widening gaps between economic classes. While progressive taxes theoretically counteract this trend, skilled accountants often undermine their egalitarian effects through legal tax avoidance strategies. Politics and economics intertwine in self-reinforcing cycles where economic advantage converts to political power and vice versa. Wealth enables strategic campaign contributions and media influence, while political power facilitates legislation benefiting financial interests, creating an endless loop of cumulative advantage. State power begets more state power through what Emanuel Wallerstein calls a tipping mechanism. Tax revenue enables larger bureaucracy and military, which generates greater tax revenue in a spiral. The state operates like a profit-seeking corporation, reinvesting to extract further resources. Democratic politics clearly demonstrates Matthew effects through incumbency advantages. Political actors use their offices to secure more advantages, investing power to gain more power. Incumbents build name recognition and fundraising connections unavailable to challengers, attracting over 4 times more campaign donations in the House and 5 times more in the Senate. Since 1964, 93% of House and 81% of Senate incumbents have won re-election. Electoral politics exhibits Matthew effects through the bandwagon effect. When polls show a candidate gaining momentum, voters hop aboard to join the winning side, further accelerating that momentum. Published polls may also discourage supporters of trailing candidates from voting. These dynamics affect fundraising too. Money follows money, creating upward or downward spirals of donation. Matthew effects permeate the U.S. justice system, where those with vast resources can afford superior legal counsel beyond ordinary citizens' means. White-collar crimes receive less frequent and more lenient prosecution than less costly street crimes. For identical criminal behavior, the poor face higher rates of arrest, charging, conviction, imprisonment, and longer sentences than middle and upper classes. Prison becomes a gateway to downward spirals for many poor youth. Ex-convicts return to society hardened and stigmatized, with fewer employable skills and resources needed for upward mobility. Many return to prison, perpetuating the cycle where disadvantage begets further disadvantage. Racial relations exemplify powerful Matthew effects. As Gunnar Myrdal observed, minority disadvantages reinforce white racial stereotypes, which justify discriminatory practices that deepen these deficits. This vicious cycle perpetuates itself as racist beliefs diminish minority opportunities, and resulting deprivation confirms racist beliefs. Residential segregation demonstrates this cycle through middle-class flight from inner cities. As suburbs prosper and appreciate in value, inner-city neighborhoods grow relatively poorer. Since home equity is the principal wealth-building mechanism for most families, Black homeowners suffer disproportionately. Melvin Oliver and Thomas Chaperon note that white homes appreciate at dramatically higher rates than Black homes, widening the economic divide. Democratic societies must rein in Matthew effect's worst excesses because extreme inequality produces differential advantages not bound up with demonstrated differences in capacity. These inequalities of condition create corresponding inequalities of opportunity as each generation inherits either advantages or disadvantages. Tax policy debates raise fundamental philosophical questions about fairness, economic justice, redistribution, and the common good. Progressive taxes levy higher rates on the wealthy, generally redistributing resources downward, while regressive taxes hit hardest those least able to pay, redistributing upward. While the federal income tax is nominally progressive, the overall U.S. tax burden is nearly flat when considering all taxes. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports the most advantaged fifth of Americans paid 19% of their incomes in total taxes, while the poorest fifth paid 18%. Many tax features favor the affluent. Homeowner subsidies primarily benefit middle and upper income Americans, as do tax expenditures on higher education. The wealthy can effectively hide assets, fabricate questionable deductions, and create complicated financial arrangements in the gray area created by tax code complexity. Meanwhile, enforcement resources increasingly target the working poor. The system enables executives to defer taxes for decades through techniques developed by tax specialists paid with tax-deductible corporate dollars. This creates an economic snowball effect where wealth grows exponentially through compound interest. Meanwhile, the working poor face aggressive audits, creating an upward wealth spiral for executives and a downward debt spiral for workers. Progressive taxation, including estate taxes on inherited wealth, has been an American tradition since the Progressive Era, when Theodore Roosevelt and others challenged the extreme wealth concentrations of the Gilded Age. This approach reflected long-standing American principles articulated by Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and Alexis de Tocqueville, who viewed inherited privilege as contrary to democratic ideals. Since the 1980s, conservative movements have systematically attacked progressive taxation, despite widening wealth gaps approaching Gilded Age levels. The capital gains tax rate has been repeatedly reduced, and conservatives successfully campaigned to phase out the federal estate tax by 2010, cleverly rebranding it as the death tax, despite it affecting only the richest 2% of estates. Matthew effects appear prominently in education, where early advantages compound dramatically over time. Reading research reveals strong Matthew effects, where good readers develop skills rapidly while poor readers fall increasingly behind. The word rich get richer, while the word poor get poorer. Jonathan Kozol's Savage Inequalities shows how property tax-based school funding creates circular reinforcement patterns. Wealthy districts fund better schools, enhancing property values and expanding the tax base, while poor districts remain trapped in downward spirals. Despite state supplements, suburban schools spend more per pupil, enjoy better facilities, and attract better teachers. Those who fall behind early may be permanently disadvantaged. Similar dynamics appear between public and private education, where bright flight creates vicious cycles of deterioration in public schools. In higher education, William Bowen and colleagues found that children from high-income families are 6 times more likely to be credible candidates for selective colleges than those from poor families. Pierre Bourdieu proposed that knowledge, skills, and aesthetic tastes constitute cultural capital that, like economic capital, can be inherited, reproduced, and accumulated across generations. Those with elite educational access can convert these advantages into further advantages, while those without such access face severe competitive disadvantages. Celebrity represents symbolic capital, social honor or prestige, that also follows Matthew dynamics. An experiment by Matthew Salganick and colleagues demonstrated how early adopters influence later ones in music downloads, creating different hits in different test worlds, suggesting celebrities might be products of cumulative advantage rather than inherent superiority. Bourdieu's social capital derives from networks of social power. Elite university networks facilitate accumulation of other capital forms. Notably, from 1988 to 2008, every major presidential candidate except one graduated from Harvard, Yale, or both. These capital forms, economic, cultural, symbolic, and social, are intricately intertwined and mutually reinforcing. The currency of one is frequently convertible into another, creating comprehensive systems of advantage that perpetuate inequality across multiple dimensions of social life. Are Matthew effects inevitable natural laws or alterable social constructions? Are they necessarily unjust, or do they sometimes produce benefits? When harmful, do we have moral responsibility to intervene? From a naturalistic perspective, Matthew effects are objective social facts that operate like natural mechanisms, mathematically demonstrable feedback loops found throughout nature. In contrast, social constructionists view these effects as consequences of artificial rules in social games that humans have invented and can change. The most reasonable position acknowledges Matthew effects occur naturally, but argues humans can choose to intervene and restrain extreme inequalities, just as we fight diseases or natural disasters. While some inequality may be inevitable, history shows that extreme forms can be confronted through public opinion and policy. The existence of Matthew effects isn't controversial, but their implications for ethics and policy are contentious. Those viewing inequalities as natural and beneficial emphasize their positive functions, while critics see extreme inequalities as unjust and potentially destructive. This reflects the classic sociological debate between functionalists and conflict theorists. Kingsley Davis and Wilbert Moore argued unequal rewards ensure qualified people fill important positions, while Melvin Tummen countered that inequality suppresses talent and undermines loyalty among the disadvantaged. Different philosophical traditions offer contrasting views on distributive justice. Inegalitarian traditions include Aristotle's defense of natural hierarchies and modern libertarian arguments that marketplace wealth is earned and deserved. Opposing these are egalitarian traditions found in major religions and political movements like abolitionism, civil rights, trade unionism, and anti-poverty campaigns. Contemporary philosophers like Peter Singer and John Rawls represent egalitarian thinking. Singer argues extreme inequality creates moral responsibility for the privileged, while Rawls proposes his veil of ignorance thought experiment, suggesting rational people would design more equal societies if unaware of their own future social position. While Matthew effects create self-reinforcing advantages, several countervailing forces can limit or reverse these effects. Mathematical forces naturally limit endless growth. Regression toward the mean statistically pulls extreme scores back toward average over time. Ceiling and floor effects create boundaries that prevent infinite growth, allowing developing countries to catch up with developed ones in measures like computer usage. Competition itself can both amplify and counteract Matthew effects. Without regulation, dominant firms crush competitors, but with proper rules, upstarts can topple giants. As Joseph Schumpeter noted, capitalism creates creative destruction, where no firm's success is permanent. Early industry leaders often pay the penalty of taking the lead as competitors learn from their mistakes. Egalitarian social movements throughout history have challenged accumulated privilege, from slave rebellions to civil rights movements, especially when they institutionalize their gains through government action. Progressive taxation, transfer payments, affirmative action, Head Start, and other programs have successfully narrowed gaps between advantaged and disadvantaged groups. Finally, both genuine altruism and enlightened self-interest can redistribute advantages, as when Henry Ford paid workers enough to buy his cars, or when billionaires like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett donate fortunes to address global problems. Our age is unlikely to be remembered for its altruism. The privileged continue enjoying growing advantages that aren't primarily earned through hard work or virtue, but result from Matthew effects amplifying prior advantages. With their accumulated power, they protect not just their golden eggs, but the goose that laid them, successfully resisting egalitarian initiatives. Yet this cynical view offends our sense of fairness. History shows unexpected resistance to inequality through social movements from abolitionism to civil rights. New coalitions continue to emerge against extreme inequalities, now on an international scale. A wider awareness of Matthew effects can elevate public discourse, informing our choices as we confront the vast inequalities of the 21st century. By almost any measure, economic inequalities in the United States have widened substantially since the late 1970s. The most advantaged have grown vastly richer, while disadvantaged groups have stagnated or lost ground. Economists Thomas Piketty and Emmanuel Saez identified a U-shaped pattern of income inequality over the past century, extreme in the 1920s, dropping during World War II, and regaining those heights by the early 21st century. Whether global inequality is increasing depends largely on definition and measurement, but the absolute gap between richest and poorest continues to widen rapidly. Meanwhile, economic inequalities within most nations are increasing, as Myrdal predicted. The poorest populations, primarily in Africa, grow not just relatively, but absolutely poorer, with the gulf separating them from humanity growing ever wider. Understanding the Matthew effect gives us a powerful lens for examining these patterns and potentially developing more effective responses to the challenge of creating a world where opportunity isn't predetermined by the accident of birth.